Anyway, if you have your Bibles, please join me in Psalm 18. I'm going to continue a series in Psalm, and next Sunday we'll start Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a really great psalm. I'll preach it in two series. This morning in Psalm 18, 1 through 3, we have an issue with King David. And many scholars, or most actually, have attributed the psalm to King David. King David was going through a very difficult time in his life when this was said to have been written. And as we go through this, first of all, I want to tell you this. It's actually found in 2 Samuel 22, the Lord is my rock, and you'll notice the same images connect with 2 Samuel. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence. So obviously, King David, this is most likely a reference to Saul. And King David's life was in danger. And in these metaphors, most of them are military metaphors. So it's really fitting that David uses this, because this is really metaphors for how a king is supposed to protect his people. And yet David will now apply this to his own relationship with God. There can be no misunderstanding. King David fully trusted God. And I know that he had moments in his life it looked bad, but he was fully engaged with God. And it reveals David's understanding that God alone was the one that brought him through difficulties. Right up front, whatever you're going through today, wherever you are at in your life, I want you to know that you do not go through it alone. When you are in Christ and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is with you. That is a promise. Lo, I am with you always, Jesus said, even to the end of the age. You do not go through any hardship or trial on your own. Sometimes you may not feel God, you may not sense God, but I'm telling you, God is there. And King David is now going to expose that as we unpack these three verses. And you'll notice on your outline, there's a bunch of these check marks under God is. So let's start. First of all, God is our strength. Now, given the length of the list, I'm going to have to make these short so that we don't spend all of our quarters on one subpoint. David says, and right here, notice this, I love you, O Lord, Rehom, which is, it is a feeling of strong affection based on a relationship. But more than that, and it's a unique word that he uses here for this word, I love you, O Lord. It's more than I have affection for God. It means, in a sense, that David had committed his life to him. So this is more of a not only a feel-good relationship, but one in which David is committed. And when you think about love, love is a commitment. When you get married, when I marry couples, I tell them, for better or worse, sickness and in health, till death do you part. Love is a commitment. And King David here is saying right up front, when he gets into this, I think it has to be first, because it epitomizes David's thought about his relationship with God. Peter Craigie is correct in his commentary when he writes this. The verb is unusual, but it indicates an intimacy in a relationship with God which is reflected throughout the psalm. It becomes clear as the psalm progresses that the intimacy arose from an awareness of God's companionship in a series of dangerous and mortal crises. Absolutely true. Whatever it is that you are dealing with this morning in your life, please know this, that you do not go alone, and be fully committed to God. And God will help you through these difficulties. He is our strength. We can't go through this life in our own power. You get tired, your batteries run low, you get weak, you get fearful. Stop trying to do that in your own. He is our strength. Write that down, underline it. He is our strength. Don't quit. Don't give up. God has this. Now, this word strength is hezek, and it really does refer to a military term. It also means to give courage. So when he says, I love you, Lord, for you are my strength, David is envisioning he's going to be courageous, not because of his own courage, but because of the love that God has for him. And so that's how we run this race. I just love these verses. I got excited this week when I was looking at them. Secondly, not only God is our strength, but God is our rock. He says so. For the Lord is my rock, Selah. It has six different meanings in the Hebrew language, and not going to go through most of them. It can mean boulder. Obviously, that should be a pretty easy one to get. But it really refers to a cliff. Again, all of these terms are put in military sense. So when we talk about a cliff, we talk about something that is inaccessible, that's hard to get to. And there is an element within this, the Lord is my rock. There is within this image the idea that nothing can come against you to hurt you. So when we say that God is my rock, and I love you, Lord, you're my Savior, you are my rock, there is within this a sense of defense. Psalm 27:1, and I think this is important also, and I brought it in because I think it's important. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? Look, there are times when you're scared, but when God is on your side, and you are in that love relationship with him, you do not need to fear. There's been many times in my life when I've needed to be reminded of this. And so I want to remind us this morning that no matter what it is that you're going through, maybe you're not going through anything, praise God, but eventually you will be going through something. And these are good things to be reminded of. King David says, you are my rock, you are my the third one is God is our fortress. Notice the military layering. We have military here. My fortress, Masada. This is Masada, which is a military base. Look how protected it is. It'd be pretty hard to get up there. And if you were to try to climb these, they could just knock you out. Again, when he says here, you are my fortress, he's saying, God, you have protected me. You watch over me. King David could not do this in his own strength. And yet God protected him. David said, look, God, and by the way, you don't have to fight your battles. God will fight them for you. Now, you need to be smart about things, but ultimately, this is not your fight. This is his fight, and he will fight for you, and he will protect you, no matter what comes against you. There's been so many times in my life where God has come through, not on my timetable. He's never on my timetable. But on his timetable, God has protected me from things. And Marcus Caraway, I got two Bible college stories today, but Marcus Caraway came to class one day and he said, I lost control of my car on the interstate. I think it was I-10 or one of the I's. And he said in class, I really felt God's protection. And Dr. Windsor, in his wisdom, said, that's one that you know about. There's many times in our lives when God will protect us, and even from the things that we can't see. And King David is simply acknowledging, I want you to get the sense of David. I love you, Lord. I'm committed to you. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my fortress. And then he says, God is our deliverer. God is our deliverer. It's a pael verb in the Hebrew. And my deliverer means palat. And it's one who rescues. When I was in Bible college, there was a man named John Brown. And one day in class, John Brown was giving it was kind of like a testimony. And during the Persian Gulf War, the first one, his son was behind enemy lines, and he had been injured, and he was the only one there. A squad of about 7 soldiers went into enemy territory. They found him, and they carried him back across to the other side, saving his life. When King David writes, you are my deliverer, he is talking about God rescuing him from impending doom. Now, granted, and he told us it took over 24 hours to get his son out of the danger zone. They airlifted him, did surgery, and he recovered. But it was a very moving telling how he said it. And God is our deliverer. The next one, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. My rock, he says it again, Selah, in whom I take refuge. The word refuge there means hasha, which refers to a safe place. Notice the images, how David is overlaying these images. He is secure. He does not feel threatened. He is not fearful at this point. He knows that God is there with him, that he will deliver him. There is a sense of safety and security. You think about security. That's security right there. That's an underground. That's when they have tornadoes that sweep through. That will keep you safe while everything else around you may be blowing up in the air. You're going to be safe. And that's what King David is saying here. Look, God, you're my safe place. You know, it may be good this week. Get alone with God. Talk to him about things that are going on in your life. And say, God, I need that safe place. I think it's beneficial just to get alone and away, so that you can talk to God privately without the noise. Don't take your cell phone. Don't take anything else. Just get away, get quiet, and maybe even just sit down and ponder your relationship with him and ask God, look, I'm in need of a safe place right now. And I can just see King David, he feels secure at this point. And again, the security did not come from his own ability or cunning, but his safety came from the God that we worship. You guys and gals do know we have a great God, right? Y'all know that. Praise him. Sing to him. Safe place. My rock, Selah, in whom I take refuge, Hasa, safe place. Not only that, God is our shield. My shield. Magdan. Magdan is how you pronounce that in Hebrew. And this is probably a reference to King David's own shield, but he's now applying this to God's shield. I don't know if you're, I know many of you already know this. Iraq has said they're going to bomb Israel. Israel has this, what's called the Iron Dome. It stops roughly 90-some percent, 95, 96% of the missiles coming in. There's a shield there. God's shield is able to protect. Think about Israel for a minute. They are surrounded, and yet they have not fallen because God is their shield, and they're his people. And so God's going to protect Israel. And guess what? For us in the New Testament, we can be proactive in a sense, but still knowing that God is our shield. But when we look at that, we think about Ephesians 6:16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So we take that shield and we say we will not be moved. God is our, he is fighting for us. We're going to take that shield up and nothing's going to come against me. And I'm not talking about charismatic stuff. What I'm talking about is the faith to believe that God will take care of you. It's only in our unbelief that the shield is lowered. We need to remain faithful to God in that loving relationship with him. And even in times when our shield is low, God will still protect us. And it quite amazing. This one, the next one, our horn. God is our horn. Many scholars, and I would kind of agree with them, and the horn of my salvation, carrion, the horn, which is probably the shofar horn. And during Rosh Hashanah, this horn is blown 100 times. And it's blown each day so many times. And it's quite loud. And when he says, you're the horn of my salvation, the word yasha, mixed with this word, carrion, refers to symbolic of strength and victory. The horn of the wild ox is frequently a metaphor for military strength. The idiom, exalt the horn, signifies a military victory. Victory. We just sang victory in Jesus this morning. We have victory. God, I don't know how it works itself out, but I do know this. I peeked at the end of the Bible, and guess what? We win. We may lose some battles here and there, may look like it, but ultimately we will win because God is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can possibly stand against us? So King David's thinking about, he's thinking about that horn and saying, wait a minute, we're victorious. We have victory. We have victory not only in God, but we have victory in Jesus. It's also blown at the end of Yom Kippur, but the issue is everybody can hear it. And when you're blowing something 100 times, King David's thinking about that. Yeah, God is my military strength. He is my victory. He is my victor. He will win this battle. The battle is his. It is not mine. I can't possibly do it. David was on the run a lot. God was protecting him. The last one, our stronghold. It kind of maybe makes a loop here. God is my stronghold. Miskev, a fortress, a place of security. Notice again the issue of military protection, military safety. I don't know if y'all, we visited Neuschwanstein years ago, you can see it's kind of exclusive, hard to get to. You have to walk around these winding roads to go up to it. It's just a massive fortress. It's just a massive fortress. King David has this idea of a high tower that the enemy cannot get in. All of these. God is our strength, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our refuge, our shield, our horn, our stronghold. Maybe read this back to God today. It's amazing. It's amazing if you will do that, whatever you're fearful of, whatever's coming against you, you read this back to God and that fear just kind of melts away. Life throws stuff at us, right? And sometimes we go, God, where are you? I get it. But ultimately, we have to get to the place in our life when we say, you know what? You know, I don't care what's going on around me. I don't care what people do. I'm going to trust in God. Our lives are not dependent on other people. Our lives are dependent upon God. And with God on our side, no matter what happens, you will be victorious. You may go through a difficulty. You may go through a hardship. But I'm going to tell you, when you come out of that, you're going to be stronger than when you went in. And so I want to encourage you today to stand fast with God and just say, you know what, Lord, I know this is going on out here, but I'm going to trust you. Your word said you're going to keep me safe. And you know what? Even in times when we don't think God is keeping us safe, do you know God has a miraculous way of maneuvering us, right? Maneuvering us to where he wants us to be based on the circumstances and situations in our lives. We like to say, well, God closed this door, right? But I see that when we trust in him completely, you just get to this place where, you know what? I don't care. The only thing I care about is my relationship with him, and I think that's very, very important. God is all of those things, and because God is all of those things, he is worthy of worship. I call upon the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend in prayer? Daily. How much time do you spend in prayer daily? I'm still remembering Pastor Dan. When I pastored in Moments, we would go on, I can't remember what day it was now, it's been a while, but we climb this tower up, and we just, there was actually a little stoop like this, and we would sit down and we would just take turns praying, and sometimes we'd be in there well over an hour praying for our community, praying for people that we know, praying for people that are sick, praying for people that need to know Christ, praying that God will grow churches. But if you don't spend time with God in prayer, how can you possibly, and how can I possibly know what God is really like? Sometimes the best prayer is one that is not spoken, where you're quiet. You may say, God, speak to me. King David said, I call upon the Lord. Kaha. You ready for this? The word kaha means to come into the presence of someone. When you pray, and I wrote this down in bold letters here. When you pray, I want you to visualize yourself. Not Eastern mysticism, anything like that, but I want you to picture yourself standing before the throne of God. That will radically change your prayer life. Just with your eyes closed, just visualize you're talking to God one-on-one. He's on his throne, and you talk to him. For us that live in the New Testament, and when I say that, we're in the day of dispensational grace, but we read in Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me say this. God should not be the last resort. He should be the first resource. You need to go to him first, because he's the one that's fighting for you. He's the one that's fighting for me. You go to him first so that you can find peace and that you can find serenity. Because in the presence of God is where you will find peace. Jesus said, I leave my peace, not the peace of this world, but I give you the peace of God. And so in King David says, I call upon the Lord. Corrie Ten Boom, many of you are familiar with Corrie Ten Boom. She wrote this, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? That means, does prayer drive your life, or do you only get it out of the trunk when you have a flat tire spiritually? That's a really good point. Prayer should drive our lives, and yet so many times in our lives, be honest, right? So many times in our lives we freak out over stuff. It happens to me. It happens to you. We got to get back to say, you know what, Lord, I love you. You're my rock. You're my stronghold. You're my shield. You're my horn. You're all of these things. And you know what? I'm just going to trust you with it. Visualize yourself going before God, praying to him. And then lastly, praise. By the way, y'all did a good job singing this morning. Pretty proud of you there. King David writes, verse 3b, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Hallel, which is the word praise, which means to boast, which means to extol the greatness of someone, and in this case, God. Augustine of Hippo, I have a big seminary on my computer, and I'm able to go back in and see what the ancient church fathers wrote about certain things. Augustine of Hippo, he wrote this, with praise I will call upon the Lord, and I shall be safe from mine enemies. And then Hippo writes, seeking not my own, but the Lord's glory, I will call upon him, and there shall be no means whereby errors of ungodliness can hurt me. It goes back to the idea that we can praise him because God is our defense. He is our defender. We've got to get to a place where we can trust. And you know what? This word, Hallel, to boast or to extol the greatness of someone, it really means to brag. To brag on God. When you go out this week, wherever you go, brag on God. I put this here, I think it's right. Worship is bragging on God. King David is bragging here. King David said, Lord, I didn't do this. I didn't do this in my own strength. You saved me. You protected me. You care for me. And I can say this morning, that's the God that you worship. That's the God that you worship. He is a great God, a loving God, a caring God, and a giving God. So let me close with this. Three things that I think you need to take away from this. God is our Savior and Defender. God is our Savior and Defender. That means that God saved you not only spiritually, but will save you at times physically. And He is your defender. Whatever it is, just give it to Him. Whatever. When you give it to Him, then trust Him and go, God, I know. For God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's in Romans. God has a plan, and it's okay. God's got this. God is our Savior and our Defender. Here's another one, a big one. See, the light just came on. We need not fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's also in the Bible. Perfect love casts out all fear. Satan would have us to believe that God will not take care of us. Satan would have us to believe that you cannot trust God and that you need to be fearful because this might happen or this might happen. No, we do not need to be afraid of circumstances and situations in our lives. It becomes a problem when we're not trusting Him. The love of God removes the fear of the world. And in that love, you find peace. You do not need to be afraid. I wish I'd have known that back when they had the skin cancer surgery on me. Several years ago when I had to go to Indy, it was really close to my eye, and I was just up all night, couldn't sleep. Because one time at the doctor in Kankakee did surgery on me, again, skin cancer. I woke up during the surgery, and the doctor was shocked, and he pointed over there, and he's going like this, put him under. So when I got to the VA, God bless her, I bothered her. They got me on the table. I was looking up, still a little nervous. And they put you on one of these little tables. And I said, please make sure I'm out. And the next thing I remember, I was waking up in the recovery. I just remember seeing a light. She goes, and it was out. Worried for nothing. Should have trusted God there. And that's the way it is when we don't trust Him. Thirdly and finally, we need to worship Him. Let our voices be sounded like the shofar horn when we meet here Sunday after Sunday.